Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? So it looks like we got some nasty weather, and some of you like the snow, but I've had enough. So whoever you are that's praying for it, please stop. Well, praise God. Pastor Tom is over suffering in Ireland, so you get stuck with me this morning. But I just pray that we would open our hearts and minds to what God has for us this morning. We're going to be talking about holiness. And here in Kentucky, we're kind of in the Bible Belt. We've heard all the holiness preaching, but I'm praying and hoping that God has something for you today, this morning. Okay, holiness. There once was a man who lived a religious life. He went to his church every Sunday, and he tithed 10% of every paycheck. He sang the loudest and dressed the most modest. He volunteered for all types of ministries and even ran his own ministries from time to time. By all accounts, this man appeared to live a holy life. And people thought he was righteous and holy. But his relationship with God was nearly non-existent. When he went home, he never chose to spend time with the Lord in prayer or in song or in studying scripture. Instead, he filled himself with worldly things. Deep inside his heart, he had no peace. He was a miserable wretch inside, but he never spoke of it. Instead, he pompously went about pretending to be holier than others, as if he were more righteous by all the things he had done in his life. He would look down at others who he considered not at his level. Then finally, one day, he died. Likewise, there once was a woman. She went to church when she could and tried to go as much as possible. She tithed what she could because she was a very poor woman. Her clothes were less than formal, and often she would be looked down on at her church for how she dressed. But this woman loved the Lord with all her heart. When she was alone in her home, she would hide herself away in a room and pray for hours to the Lord. She sang spiritual songs to the Lord and loved reading the scriptures. She was always looking forward to spending more time with Jesus because she truly loved him. One day she also died, and the two of them, the man and the woman, stood before the Lord in judgment. So which of the two do you suppose lived the holy life? The story may sound familiar because Jesus taught a similar parable in the Bible. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 9. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 9, it says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, he would not as much raise his eyes to heaven, but beat at his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' Jesus said, 'I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.' Again, I ask you, now which of the two do you suppose lived a holy life before God?" Well, that would all depend on how we define holiness. So what exactly is holiness? Some people define it as doing good things and appearing a certain way, but how does the Bible define holiness? And what does holiness have to do with our lives? That's the question we're going to look at right now. So let's take a quick look at the last question first. What does holiness have to do with our lives? The Bible answers this in 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 16. It says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Christians are called to be holy. Amen?
Amen.
There is so much in the Bible about holiness. So we are actually going to be visiting quite a few scriptures just to establish a kind of structure of thought before we dive into the deeper waters of holiness, so to speak. So getting back to the main question of the topic, holiness, we must first define what exactly holiness is and what it is not. The Bible has many truths about holiness, and we may not address all of them today, but we are going to get the main ones down that we need to be aware of in order to live a holy life before God. So let's get to our first question. What is holiness? First of all, holiness comes from the Hebrew word kodesh. And it's a word that simply means apartness, sacredness, and separateness. Can also mean to be dedicated to a certain thing or an act of service. And I'm getting confirmation from my professor back there. So that's always a good thing when you're preaching. It can also, the very meaning of holiness is often what we think of about ministry. Okay? It's God's work, it's sanctified, it's holy, it's set apart from the world. But this only answers what holiness means in a broad sense. It does not answer what holiness actually is and what it actually does. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 3, verse 5 in our Bibles, if you have them. If you don't, I've provided the scripture for you. Then he said, "Do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." So who's talking here? We know it's God, right? And he's talking to Moses. We got the burning bush. So this verse is teaching us something about holiness. So what exactly happened to the ground here? That's right, it became holy. So we have a pile of holy dirt here in a verse. Doesn't sound profound, but it is. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but you and I are actually glorified dirt bags. If God can transform regular dirt into something holy, he can make you holy too. Amen? And notice how God treats the holy ground here. It's sacred. It's a place, he tells Moses, remove your sandals. It's as if he's inviting Moses to enjoy the holiness and let it permeate into him. It's interesting. Moses, check this out. It's holy ground. Here, feel how holy it is with your feet. Enjoy my presence to the fullest, my son. So here we learn that holiness is transformational. Holiness is transformational. 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, "Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." So now we know that holiness is beautiful. It's both transformational and beautiful. And going back to 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, we are told to be holy as God is holy. This means holiness is also possible, and not only is it possible, but it is expected. So far, we know from Scripture that holiness is transformational, beautiful, possible, and expected. And for the final point, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. "And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness." True righteousness and holiness. If there is such a thing as true holiness, then it stands to reason there must be a false holiness. So from these points, we can easily conclude what holiness is and what it is not. Holiness is not stagnant or inactive because it is transformational. Holiness is not ugly because it is beautiful. Holiness is neither impossible nor unexpected for us, and holiness is not false. So now that we have a good understanding of what holiness is, the next question we need to answer is, where does holiness come from? What's the source? Amen. Someone knows the answer out there. To find one of our answers, let's turn to Acts chapter 3, verse 11 through 12. And as the layman which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? Now let's go back to the burning bush in Exodus 3:5 here for a minute, because there's more truth to be revealed in that scripture. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. This ground is holy because of one thing, of one person. And it's God. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit are known as being holy. It is part of their very nature. And in Scripture, we see the truth that they are indeed the source of all holiness, not man. In other words, man can't produce holiness, and it's outside of his reach to attain without God. Amen? So how do we experience God's holiness? Now this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. We can have all the head knowledge about this subject we want, but what really matters is if we are experiencing God's holiness daily. My 6-year-old son, Gabriel down here, he's constantly wanting to spend time with me. When I come home from my schooling, he's always asking me if he can spend time with me. It breaks my heart, honestly. But unfortunately, most of the time, too busy. But I make it a point to do my best to spend at least a little bit of time with him daily. God is actually more like my 6-year-old son in this illustration than me. He's always wanting to spend time with his children, and he's knocking on the door of our hearts to see if we will just take some time and set it aside to spend with him. The more we spend time with him, the more that changes us inside. It transforms. Change. There's an interesting word. It kind of sounds a lot like transformation, doesn't it? Well, that's a kind of a key here to remember with all these truths we are learning today from God's Word. Now, let's revisit one of the first verses that we already went over to see how we can experience God's holiness. Ephesians 1, 3-4 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, there's a key truth in this verse that is often overlooked. That we should be holy is often quoted, but there is a binding parameter that is connected to this holiness we are reading about, and it's in love. In love. We can only experience God's holiness in love. And if anyone suggests otherwise, they're probably experiencing a false holiness. In fact, outside of love, the Christian is nothing and can do nothing of value for the kingdom of God. We see this in 1 Corinthians 13, which says, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Are you kidding me? Wow. So to understand how to experience holiness, we need to understand what love is. Amen? So it continues. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, and it thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And that next part, we all know, love never fails. So wow, wow. Love sounds pretty holy to me. Now, could the two be related somehow? Well, I'm going to suggest to you that not only are they related, but they are married together in perfect harmony. You cannot have one without the other. God's love is a holy love, and His holiness is in love. The verse teaches us that holiness is in love, meaning without God's love, you cannot even begin to experience holiness. Without love, we are nothing. Without love, we are dead and dry trees that produce no fruit. And we know through Scripture that Jesus is love. Now, going back to Jesus' parable about the self-righteous man who despised the tax collector, do you think he had love? This self-righteous man did not have love. Love is not puffed up. This man, not only was he puffed up, but he was parading himself to God in prayer. You can't do that. I mean, how self-deluded can you get? You're going to brag to God how righteous you are? Really? But hold on a minute now. We need to be careful. We need to examine our own hearts. See if we are in the faith, as it says in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Getting ahead of myself. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So the next slide you already saw. If anyone is sweating right now, they're probably a Calvinist, okay? So, no, we love our Calvinist brothers and sisters, amen? But seriously, can someone write down some people that are sweating so we can pray for them later? Well, anyways, I really feel like right now, for Paul, that was definitely a mic drop moment. Paul is saying it how it is. He's letting us know the truth. Now, another way we experience God's holiness is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. That's important, but we're not going to get there today. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Interesting. So we have experience holiness in the love of God, experience holiness in the fear of God. We experience holiness in the fear. So now we know that we experience God's holiness in love and fear. Now, we don't have enough time to get into the fear of God today, but just know this. It is not the same kind of fear one might experience in this fallen world. This comes from directly understanding one's fallen nature and position in the presence of the holy and just God, just like the tax collector understood in Jesus' parable. What did he do? He humbled himself. The fear of God causes us to stay humble and understand how much we need Him. Ultimately, experiencing God's holiness comes from having a true and fruitful relationship with God. It sounds simple, but this is one of the most neglected things in Christendom. Many people think they are holy by the religious rituals or services they do every day. They think that doing ministry somehow makes them more holy, and some people believe that by devoting themselves to helping the poor and needy, they somehow become more holy. So this is a hard thing, guys. I'm just going to pause this for a minute. We're talking about people doing ministry. We're talking about people giving their lives and their heart to Jesus, supposedly, in ministry. People that are willing to die. People that give up their houses. We would suggest those people are holy. We would suggest those people got it. But right here we see, no. Paul is saying if they don't have love, they don't have it. They're doing it for something else. Can you imagine giving up everything and missing it? I mean, this is a terrible tragedy. And that's why we're talking about it today. It's important. Now, what does Paul say? Paul said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Nothing. So what Paul is describing here is a false holiness. It's a holiness driven by ego and self-will instead of relationship. He's even talking about being willing to die for your faith. Now, without having a living, breathing relationship with God, there is no holiness. Jesus put it this way in John 15:4. He said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." When our relationship with God is strong, when we have Jesus dwelling in us, and we are willingly abiding in him and not resisting his spirit of grace, that's when true holiness is revealed. That's when the fruit comes forth, and that's when lives are transformed. There is one sure way to experience God's holiness, and that is from Jesus' own words found in Matthew 6:33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." All right, let's pray. Father, this week I pray that we would set aside time to spend with you and allow your love to transform our hearts so that we can experience and walk in true holiness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.